message and song. What a blessing to be able to sing the praises of our God. To give one's life is the ultimate sacrifice. You know, life is a very precious entity. Human life is something that God has given that is, and He has shown us, it is very precious. As some would try to deceive us, we recognize that it is not like the life of a plant or like the life of an animal. We grieve over the loss of loved ones. We gather to remember and to honor ones at death. Oh, I've seen a goose that, you know, the goose is supposed to mate for life, and we've seen them look kind of, you know, wandering around when a mate is missing. We even had a cat that went and laid on the grave of our dog. they spent a lot of time together, but probably just waiting. When are you going to get up? You know, when are you going to be there? But it's not like the life of the human being. It is not like we don't see them caring for the body of their deceased. We have laws that are about the abuse of a corpse. We have cemeteries. We have marked graves where the body is laid to rest. Precious about the loss of a life, of a human life. Of course, we know that the scripture says precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. I have found on numerous occasions it being instructive to me to walk around the cemetery and to read there of ones that were there before. I have seen there, and I come across those that I recognize. Wait a minute, I think I had the funeral for that one. I remember situations about those particular ones. There's something about that in the honoring of those that have passed on before. We recognize that human life is precious. Not just the life as it is, but recognizing the life that was given. In the newspaper, I saw a picture of the soldiers, a couple going through a cemetery and putting the flags at the tombs there of those who gave their lives on behalf of our country. I was talking to our neighbor at the end of the drive there at camp, Mr. Gleason. He was talking about one of his responsibilities is going up through the cemetery there in Chesterville here for Memorial Day and placing those flags there on the graves that are there to honor and remember those soldiers that have died on behalf of their country. Yes, we have laws against the taking of human life. We have courts that hold men accountable for the wrongful death of another human life. We have wars that have been fought to stop wicked men from seeking to annihilate whole ethnic groups of people. This day we honor life and those who gave their lives to preserve the life of others. We recognize that life is a gift of God. Life is from God alone. The very first man, God formed man out of the dust of the ground. and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. He created man in the image of himself. He created man different than the animals. How we need to recognize that, especially when we live in a day that is being so inundated with a doctrine that it's almost that the things of nature, the animals and the plants, have a greater place than man. That is not the way God created us. He created man in his own image. God created man that he would give life to others. I think of when Eve conceived Cain. She says, "I have gotten a man from the Lord." She recognized that this was not just some fluke of nature that she had a child, but she had gotten this man from the Lord. Our lives are daily sustained. They're daily sustained by God. Acts 17:28 says, "For in him we live and we move and we have our being, as certain also of your poets have said, for we are also his offspring." Yes, we live and move and we have our being in him. We have come from him as his offspring. In Colossians 1:17, he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Life is from God alone. Life is sustained by God alone. And death, even as we have read, that by man sin entered the world, and death by sin, and yes, death has passed upon all men. Yes, God said to those when they went against him, "You shall surely die." And that is exactly what has happened. It is appointed unto man once to die. And then after that, the judgment. He will stand accountable to the Lord. Life is a gift from God. We praise the Lord for the times that he gave it. It was brought to mind. I had not heard of the death of a man that I knew from the first time that we came here to this part of the state. Charlie Denman, a man that I knew that had a heart attack and died, is gone. He was just a young man. He was younger than me. We just heard that Pastor Cardwell from Harmony Baptist Church died in a car accident. Whether it was the car accident or I've heard as well that it was a heart attack that took him. But he was younger than me too. Man's life, we have our life. And then all of a sudden it can be snuffed out. But we recognize where did it come from? It come from God. Life is of God, and it is life that he gives us, and we have the opportunity here and now, and yes, he has given us this life for now. The passage that we read, and as we will continue that thought as we go on, but looking at life, the life can be laid down for another. Life can be laid down on behalf of someone else. We read here in this passage of the giving of God commended his love toward us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. John in John 15:13 says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Certainly when a person lays down his life for a friend, that is it is the demonstration of a great love. Certainly there is that love that, and there is that parents would often willingly lay down their life for their children, caring for them. Just this week, I read of a man in New Jersey. It says Frank Roeder, a construction worker from the town of Winfield Park, New Jersey, had taken his son Aiden down to the Rahway River to feed ducks on Thursday. But when he stopped briefly before setting on a parking break, the impatient boy jumped out and took off straight toward the ledge 35 feet above the river. He jumps out of his Jeep, runs, and just as his boy reaches the precipice, he grabs him and stops him. Children, don't be impatient and run out where you ought not to go. And when Dad says stop, stop immediately. This boy's life was in danger. He was running off just like many children like to do, impatiently, not waiting like he should have, and his life was almost taken. His dad jumped out of his Jeep and ran over and grabbed him. The rest of the story isn't quite as pretty. The rest of the story is the Jeep went off and down into the river. And then the rest of the story is that a young policeman came up and handed the guy a ticket because he couldn't produce an insurance card that was in the soggy Jeep, and that he didn't set his parking brake on his thing, so he got two tickets for that. I think he's going to fight the tickets, and that is certainly an instance of a young policeman evidently that's taking things a little bit too far. But it's an illustration of the love of a father for his child. They asked the man about the tickets. He said, I'll probably fight him. He says, I don't care about the tickets. I don't care about the Jeep. I care about my son. And he was willing to go and jump out and risk his life for his son. Yes, we have a care for those of our own. Brothers and sisters have a care one for another. You know, in the spiritual family, here in the local assembly, there ought to be that kind of a love and a care that we would put our lives on the line. I think of in Romans chapter 16, it talks about there, Paul is speaking about Priscilla and Aquila. You know, here are a couple that was able to be led to the Lord. Here's a couple that served the Lord, and we see their names coming up on different occasions as they were serving the Lord. But here, you know what it says in the fourth verse, what Paul says about them? In the third verse, he says, they were my helpers in Christ Jesus, he said, who gave for my life, who have for my life laid down their own necks, whom not only I give thanks, but all the churches of the Gentiles. You know, Paul said, Priscilla and Aquila put their lives on the line for me. Many forsook Paul because they were afraid for their own lives. They were afraid to stand up for righteousness, and they forsook Paul. But Priscilla and Aquila are talked about. They put their own necks on the line. And Paul said, "I'm really thankful for him for that." And he said, "Also the churches." Are thankful, the churches of the Gentiles, they are thankful for what this couple did in putting their necks on the line for us. So certainly in the spiritual family, there is that where we ought to be willing to put our lives on the line for another. We know that the occupation, I mentioned a kind of a negative thing there for the police, but you know, each day they're putting their lives on the line for our protection from evil men. It's a blessing to be able, when evil men are around, to be able to call and to get help from the policeman. But I have thought again and again and particularly as our society is going the way it is, the danger that it is there to be a policeman. The Rays have a son that is putting his life on the line each day as a policeman. He's willing to do that for the protection of others. What a blessing that is. We have firemen that are continually putting their lives on the line and going into danger in order to save others' lives that are imperiled by fire. There are examples of those who are willing to put their lives on the line for the sake of others. Of course, we're here in Memorial Day, Memorial Weekend. We're seeking to give to men honor that have been willing to put their lives on the line. Now, I recognize that join up with the service just because of the thrill of it. They like to live on the edge. I've seen some that will do all kinds of crazy things just to live on the edge. But there are some that join because of it's an occupation. I remember particularly a number of years ago when our reserves had not been used, when the National Guard had not been used anyplace else, they thought, hey, this is a good way to get my education paid. This is a good way. I won't be in danger. I can join that. And then all of a sudden they got thrown into service. They said, wait a minute. I didn't sign up for this. I wasn't going to put my life on the line. Yes, there are those. But many, for their care of their fellow man, their love for their fellow man, they're there to preserve the lives of their fellow man, there to preserve and to buy their freedom. You know, Hal, I wish that when the Star Spangled Banner were sung in public, they would sing that second verse along with the first. Thus be it ever when free men shall stand between their loved homes and war's desolation. You know, men have stood between their homes and the desolations of war because of their care for their homes and their care for their country and their people. How we wish that there would be a recognition, as the song says, blessed with victory and peace, may the heaven-rescued land. Our land's been rescued by heaven. We've got our land because of what God has done, that we would praise the power that hath made and preserved us a nation. Oh, that we would praise God who has given us, has preserved us a nation. This is our motto: in God is our trust. In God is our trust. Have you, as we think of that, have you walked through a local cemetery on the holidays? Have you seen the little flags? It'd be a good thing to do that. It'd be a good thing to go up and just walk through and particularly at the time right now when the flags are there, then just read some of the things that are on the tomb. Read the dates, the birth, and the death. Sometimes it's 18 years old, 19, 20, 21, 22. A lot of young men that have given their lives as a sacrifice. Consider the sacrifice that men have made for you. I encourage you to go and to walk through there. Their name has been removed from the living. No opportunity to living out the desires of life that they had, their parents had. Homes lost. Parents lost their offspring, many times grieving for years, never able to quite get behind that. Wives who've lost their lives' mate. Children with no father. In the day in which we live, and particularly in our day, there were wives and women that gave in many different ways their lives. I think to the discredit of our own nation, we're putting the women and the wives right in the front of the battles. I think that's a very much a discredit to our nation today that is being done. But people have given of themselves, knowing of the grave danger that they were in, knowing that it must be done. I read an article this last week. It said, the rugged mountains yield hundreds of World War II era plane crashes of lost hump airmen. Lost hump airmen. That got my attention. I read through it. The hump was a perilous Himalayan no man's land that became a graveyard for hundreds of fearless World War II era flyers who battled Japanese fighters, impossible weather, and a supply route that some had been dubbed a supply route from hell because of the grave danger that was there. They said that they think there were probably over 700 planes that were lost just in that particular area, because in order to get through and to get supplies for our men, in order to get to past the Japanese at that time, there was one way to go, and it was over those Himalayan mountains. One of the problems was because of the winds. There would be winds up to 200 miles an hour. Many times they got up there, and they said that the ice would build up on their planes because of the height and the weather. And many times the planes would just drop into the rugged mountains. Many were not there. The story that is here is about a man that has made it his life's work to go and to try to find some of those planes. And it was a story about one particular man that he found and was able, after 70 years, he was able to bring back something from him to the family, to know he wasn't just lost in action, but he actually died in this place. For years, the family was sure that their son would someday come walking back in the door. But he laid up there in the rugged Himalayan mountains with a wrecked plane. The story goes on to say how they knew the grave danger that was there. They knew that many were being lost. In order to stand between their homes and war's desolation, they felt it important that they would seek to try to get supplies to those that needed. Oh, what a sacrifice. A greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You know, you look on a picture of Arlington Cemetery. Some of you have seen pictures of that over a period of time. They said there's more than 290,000 graves there in Arlington Cemetery. Many of them, those that lost their lives in service for our country. Might we come to appreciate what those have given for us, those that would lay down their lives for their home, for their friends. But we come to a different sacrifice with Christ, don't we? One that is much greater. The passage that we read this morning, the passage there in Romans chapter 5, verse 6, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." Jesus Christ gave the ultimate and the supreme sacrifice out of a love that goes beyond the normal bounds of men. Because the seventh verse there of Romans 5 said, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." A very familiar verse. But boy, when you stop and meditate upon what is that verse saying? Yes, men would die for their homes and for their families, for their friends. But what about for those that are going against you? You know, the Lord could have easily, completely destroyed us for our wickedness and for our sin. And that is where man is headed. He's headed for destruction. He's headed for damnation. But God toward us, in an act of love, while we're sinners, going against him, enemies of God, he died for us. He did that with a full knowledge of what was to come. Yes, he gave the prophecy to Isaiah, back in Isaiah 53, when it says he would be cut off out of the land of the living, and for the transgression of my people was he stricken. He gave that prophecy to Isaiah beforehand. Jesus spoke himself in John 12:24. When he said, except a grain of wheat falls into the ground and die, it's going to remain alone. And he that loves his life is going to lose it, but he that hateth his life in this world will keep it to eternal life. He was saying that on the basis of the fact that he needed to die for sinful man. He said, and in that prayer, "Now is my soul troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. It's for this cause I came." He gave his life for sinful man. He laid down his life for those that were his enemies, not his friends. It's a blessed thing to be able to be called the friend of God. But we can only be called the friend of God because of his forgiveness, because of what he has done on the cross, because he has drawn us to himself, because he has taken us who were his enemies, and he has made us his friends. It was by his own determination. We've looked at in past weeks how the Lord took and he set his face steadfastly toward Jerusalem, steadfastly towards that time when he would give his life. It was by his own submission when he said to the Father, when he knew what was coming, "Father, not my will, but thine be done." A submission to that very thing for which he had come. He says, "I lay down my life," in John 10. "I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down and the power to take it up." It was by his own volition, by his own will, by his own, that he lays his life down, that he gives it on behalf of you and me. Oh, there was the ultimate suffering of the Lord. There was the ultimate suffering, you think of the physical suffering, the rebuke, an innocent man that's being rebuked, the shame of one who should have been exalted and yet he has put to shame, the beating that took place, to willingly take that, the beatings that he took, to go to the cross. The scripture says, He was obedient to the death, even the death of the cross, the cruel death of the cross. And many, 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 that's as far as they understand the suffering, the physical suffering that he went through. But that was nothing in comparison to his suffering for sin. It was nothing in comparison to the sin being placed upon him. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." There was there in that, very much understood, calculated, taking on your sin, fully aware of what he was doing, fully aware of what would happen, that the weight of this world, sin, would be upon him. He took on him your vile temper, your dirty mind, your lies, your rebellion, your pride. He took all of that of us, and he put that on his own shoulders, all of our wickedness. He bore. And the result of that, separated from the Father. The worst of all pain and of all the consequences that were there, the separation from the eternal fellowship that had been within the Godhead for all of eternity. It seems incomprehensible, the grief that he endured with this separation of the fellowship with the Father. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Can you imagine the grief? And when we see that from the Son, can you imagine the grief of the Father, the fellowship all through eternity, and there being a separation in that fellowship at that moment. The Father having to turn his back. You can understand that a little bit from Father and Son. Nothing can we understand, or it seems incomprehensible to try to understand the oneness of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the oneness, the complete unity, and that there had to come a time, but it was planned. It was planned in such a way that for one reason, that they would endure such pain in the Godhead for you and for me. Yes. The 8th verse of Romans 5, but God commended his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Victory that was there in Christ. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled shall we be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. You know, we have a great appreciation for those that have given themselves for us, and for those things that we have advantage in our own country and the freedoms that we have today. But it is nothing like the freedoms with which has been purchased for us by the Lord Jesus Christ, a reconciliation where we're justified by his blood that was shed. We who were enemies are now reconciled. We're now made right with God. We've received the atonement. What blessedness has been purchased as the Lord Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. The gift of eternal life that is available to all. Verse 19 here of Romans 5, verse 19 says, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, and so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Oh, what a blessed thing it is, that gift of life that is available to us today. You know, I'm thinking of that. Yes, it was purchased, it's available. But you know, it's not worth anything unless it's applied. Unless it's applied to each one. Isaiah 53, verse 10 speaks to that. He says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. And what's the rest say? But when you shall make his soul an offering for sin, Then he'll see his seed and prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. The travail of his soul shall be satisfied. And by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. When you reject the Lord, when you reject him, instead of coming to him by faith, repenting and turning to Christ, when you reject him, you reject that he went to great lengths to purchase for you. You know, it's kind of the same when we throw our freedoms away that have been purchased for us by the blood of other men and soldiers and our fellow man. Of what value is their great sacrifice? You know, we have heard those that have looked at some of the things and some of the wars that they've been put into and battles in recent times been put into, and when they see nothing come of it, they say, why did I give myself to that? You know, and there's been grief to soldiers as they've wondered, have what I gave myself for? Is it being used? Is it being thrown away? Oh, we grieve and we wonder that nationally when we see that taking place. We see freedoms being taken away. We see things being passed that would take our freedoms that we have so enjoyed, that men have given their lives for. And when you see those little flags in the cemetery, then you wonder, did they give their life in vain? But you know, when we cast aside the atonement, when we refuse the love and the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus Christ, of what value was that sacrifice to you? To you, it was of no value whatsoever if you cast it aside. And as his sacrifice was supremely more than any sacrifice that man could make, will we cast aside what he has done for us? I know that to the profession of most that are here, I would say you have been justified, you have been sanctified, you have applied this to your own life, and you are in a great appreciation for what the Lord has done. But I can't look into the heart. I can't see the heart to know, have you really given it all to him? Or maybe even as you consider this today and you see the great sacrifice of the Savior, you'd say, oh, I need to cast all to him. I need to put my faith and trust in him. As Isaiah said, when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, then he shall see his seed. He'll prolong his days. He'll say, this is what I came for. Why did the Lord come? Why did he die? So you could be freed from the damnation, the destruction. You could be freed from that, a much greater freedom, a freedom for all of eternity. A much greater freedom than the fleeting freedoms that men have given their lives for here in this life. May we have an appreciation for those who have given their lives for us here for our freedoms. And may we have a much greater appreciation for the one who has given us the example of not just dying for his friends or his family, but for his enemies, that he might make them his friends. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for that symbol that is one of the giving of a life for another. And, O Lord, as in many places there are the crosses that are there to signify men that have given their lives, O Lord, we recognize that that comes because of the cross upon which the perfect sacrifice, the perfect giving of life was made. Lord, may we remember and may we apply that to our own hearts. We pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Take your hymnals, if you will, and